Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. So I was reminded on Friday when I saw Colin that he had been suffering through his final exams. So, and I bet Cooper was too. So I thought it'd be helpful to tell a couple funny quotes about testing to help them recover a little bit. So the first one. The examinations are the only way to know something for a couple of days, or in the case of college students, a few hours. The night before an exam is like Christmas. You can't sleep, and yet you hope for a miracle. Number three, the biggest mystery of math. Thousands of years have passed. Millions of theorems derived, millions of formulas made, but still, X is unknown. Finally, my favorite one, for people taking a test, people look up for inspiration, down in desperation, and side to side for information. I think all of us can find some humor in these quotes because we remember how much we don't like exams. It's like the old joke, what nation does everyone hate? Examination. I didn't say they were good jokes. Those are dad jokes. All right, so as I was chuckling at these quotes and thinking about my time in school, I asked myself, why is there so much stress about tests, about exams, about quizzes? And I think there are several reasons that tests stress us out. I think the first ones, we tie them to our self-worth, don't we? If I don't pass that test, I'm not smart, so I must be dumb. Another reason, peer pressure. How many times do we think to ourselves, my parents or my friends are not going to like me if I can't pass this test so I can get that good grade? And finally, sometimes we have to pass a test in order to fulfill something. I couldn't have been a nuclear medicine technologist unless I passed the NMTCB, which is the Nuclear Medicine Technology Certification Board. I couldn't have been a tech unless I passed the test. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but I think we see basically why tests in general stress us out and why we perceive them to be so meaningful in our lives. Now, with all this talk of testing, I think many of us may be getting a little nervous about the topic for today's sermon, because we might have to begin to think about God testing us. And the answer to this question will lead us to some even more complicated questions, because if God is testing us, does that change the character of who God is in our lives? Is God really this divine being full of grace, or is God a being who is more concerned with punishment? These are very important questions, and these are questions we need to ask ourselves as we explore our faith. So let's dive into our scripture and start looking at whether God tests us, and what does that mean for our relationship with God. So if you have your Bible apps, you can open them to Matthew chapter 4, or if you're in your pew Bibles, it's on page 785. And as you're getting there, let me give you a little bit of context like I do around the text each and every week. So the first is the main audience for the Gospel of Matthew are Jews. And today's text is going to be like a sucker punch for many of them as they read through this text. Why? Because it's going to remind them of their ancestors as well as their own failings. So just keep that, as I always say, in your back pocket, and we'll come back to that later. Also interesting about this text for today is that this event only shows up in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The story we hear about Jesus' life today is not present in the Gospel of John. Even more interesting, Matthew, Mark, and Luke's accounts of this event are all a little different from each other. Now, you probably have the text in front of you there, and if you have a heading for that text, if you're looking at the NRSV especially, what does that heading say for this text? You can yell it out. The temptation of Jesus, right? Well, actually, if we look at the original Greek, which is the language that the New Testament was written in, we see that a better translation for that word temptation is actually test. So our heading should read, the testing of Jesus. So let's look at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, or tested. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was exactly that, famished. So one of the big things that should step out of this particular text for us is the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted, or more correctly, tested by Satan. So I have to ask, how does that make you feel? God is allowing Jesus to be tested. No, it's even stronger than that. God is not just allowing this. God is putting Jesus into the hands of the enemy so that the devil can test him. And I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound pretty cool to me. That doesn't sound so cool because it has implications for us today. And if you're taking notes, I'd invite you to pull out your sermon notes because the truth, because this is the answer to the first one, the truth is God does test us. Again, the answer to that first question is God does test us. We know that during Jesus' life that he endured all the stuff that we do, all the aches and pains, all the wonderful things as well too. So it stands to reason if God allows Jesus to be tested, God also must allow us to be tested. And I don't know about you, but I'm sort of dreading going through the rest of this text, but we need to see what God's message for us in all of this is. So let's go back to verse 3. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So the testing has begun in all earnest, hasn't it? Satan is asking Jesus, who hasn't had a decent meal for weeks, to turn some stones into bread. This simple act will allow Jesus to eat as well as prove to Satan that he is indeed the Son of God. With a roar from his stomach, how hard must it have been for Jesus to refuse this request? It had to have been hard, but Jesus knew that this was a test. And he also knew what was on the line, which was his relationship with God. Now remember when I told you that the Jewish audience who was listening to this would feel like they were getting sucker punched? And the reason for this is that this test, as well as the other two, reminded them as a people how they had failed God. You see, all the scripture that Jesus is quoting today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 8 through 8, which is where Moses is reminding the people of Israel all the ways that they had screwed up before they entered the promised land. I mean, this particular temptation reminds us the people of Israel were grumbling because they had been in the wilderness. And they did not have enough to eat. And so they said, "Why, God, did you send us out here just to punish us?" And then God sent the manna. But they were not just happy with the manna, because God said, just collect what you need. No, they always collected more. And each time they did it, it spoiled, because they were just supposed to collect what they needed. The tests that Jesus passed today are the tests that all the people of Israel flunked, and flunked really hard. Personally, I don't know if I could have done any better than the people of Israel. So what do we do with this knowledge that God tests us? What do we do with this knowledge that Jesus aced this test, but the best among us still only gets a D-? How do we think about the nature of God after this? And here's another truth we need to think about in this conversation about the nature of God. Again, if you're taking notes, this is question two's answer. Testing can be painful. Testing can be painful. We see that in Jesus' first test, where in the midst of the hunger pains, he needs to think about what is best for his body, but instead he focuses on what is best for his soul. What about us today? Don't we have pain during testing as well? Maybe it's the withdrawal pains from an addictive substance like alcohol or drugs. Maybe it's walking away from an abusive relationship. Maybe it's changing the way we spend our finances and how we interact with money. So it got me to thinking, so why do we have this pain? Is it because God is punishing us? And this is the third answer to your worship notes. God tests us not because God hates us, but because God wants us to grow. Again, God tests us not because God hates us, but because God wants us to grow. When we think about walking away from an abusive relationship, do you think a loving, caring God wants you to be in an abusive relationship? No. God doesn't want you to be there. However, there's going to be some pain to get out of that relationship, isn't there? The pain in just leaving the relationship. The pain in finding a place to live. Pain in finding someone or another group of people to help support you during this time. Pain in figuring out what that new normal looks like. So again, a good follow-up question is, why pain at all? And this reminds me of a story I've used this week on my blog and in the Bible study. But it's one that stuck with me for over 20 years. I still remember it as if it was yesterday. It was a week when we first began starting to learn how to do IVs, commonly known as venipuncture. To say I was nervous would be a grave understatement. The instructor showed us all the steps that we needed to do, and of course, the needle slid effortlessly into one of my classmates' arms. And then it was my turn. I could feel the knots in my stomach, and my hands were shaking as I grasped the needle, and I carefully and very slowly, did I mention very slowly, tried to put the needle into one of the fire hoses that my partner Mark had for veins. I could see the needle bounce off his huge veins, and I tried to redirect the needle. But Mark was going to have none of that. And he told me with a forced grin on his face and his other raised hand in a form of a fist, "You direct that again, Paul, and I'll be redirecting your teeth to different areas of your mouth." Needless to say, I pulled the needle out, and I had tears in my eyes. This was just too hard. I was never going to get it. My instructor came over to me and said, "Paul, what did I tell you to do? Go in quickly. The longer you take, the more it hurts. Don't redirect unless you know you can hit it again. Sometimes it's better to pull out and get another needle to try again." I wasn't having none of that. I shook my head, "No, I can't do this," through my tears. I said, "I'm hurting him." And then my professor told me this, "Remember, Paul, you're doing this because you care about somebody else. This test you're going to perform today could save their lives. Yes, it might hurt a little at first, but what comes out in the end more than makes up for that pinprick of the needle." I have lived by these words ever since, both during my time as a nuclear medicine technologist and also as a pastor. God tests us not because God hates us, but because God wants the best for us. God wants us to grow. God wants a better life for us. And many times, working towards that better life will involve pain. However, we do not work alone. God walks with us through the pain. When we walk through the pain of this test, then we see the reward for our pain: a better life and a better relationship with God. So what has God been testing you on? And then I ask, how will your life look differently after this test? How will you grow as a person? God testing is not about hate. It's about forging us into the people we need to be. Testing allows us to break free of the chains of our sins and become the saints that God needs us to be, that God wants us to be, the people who can help change this world and show people what the love of God looks like. Amen.